Good morning, everyone. It's good to see everyone out this morning. It's a beautiful day. We have so much to be thankful for. We're glad Jim and Joyce are back with us. Glad you had a good trip. Glad you're back. You know, this congregation is made up of every member, and when anybody is absent, we miss each other. And everybody has a part to do, and it's good to get away. It's good to go on vacation, but it's good when we can all be together to worship our Heavenly Father. We have just a short time to do that while we are here, and we're reminded of that again this week with the passing of our sister. She had cancer for 5 years and battled that, and everybody knows her goal was to make it to heaven. And we need to pray for Larry that he would be comforted. But we're just reminded of we're here for such a short time. And if we have our heart set on God and heaven, even something as horrible as cancer cannot stop us, but it can be a doorway to get us there. And on one hand, I know we are all sorrowing at the loss, but on the other hand, we can rejoice because she's been carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom to await the judgment. And we can all have that confidence if we are in Christ. If we are in Christ. Keep your Bibles open to Job. And I want us to consider this phrase, and Satan came also among them. Let's read the first 12 verses in Job chapter 1. There is a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the east. And his sons would go and feast in their houses, each on his appointed day, and would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. So it was, when the days of feasting had run their course, that Job would send and sanctify them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus Job did regularly. Now there is a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now, stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power, only do not lay a hand on his person." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. And Satan came among them. Satan obtained permission to try Job, and Job's afflictions began from the evilness of Satan, along with the Lord's permission. There is an evil spirit, the enemy of God, who is continually seeking to distress, to lead astray, and if possible, to destroy those that love God. How far this influence extends, we cannot say. But probably much of the unhappiness and problems that we face in this world are brought on by Satan. And while we are here on this earth, we are within Satan's reach, and hence it concerns us to be sober and vigilant, as Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. It's a very serious matter. God's people are taken under protection, but that is to an extent. God suffered Job to be tried, as he suffered Peter to be sifted. And it should be our comfort. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 1 talks about God has the devil in a chain or on a chain. And when I think of that, I think of like you see a junkyard dog, a fierce, ferocious dog, and he's chained. Is that dog dangerous? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Even though he's on a chain, he is controlled. But if I get within the reach of where that chain is, that dog can get me. And that's the way Satan is. And Satan came also among them. Friends, Satan is out to get every one of us. Satan means accuser or adversary. He appeared before God in Job 1:6 and challenged the truthfulness of Job's godliness. Job lost all of his wealth and children in the first affliction, his health in the second, and still Job did not lose his integrity. Even after his wife lost hers, his friends came to comfort him, but they sat in horror for a week and not being able to speak. And friends, we've got to remember that Satan already has the people of the world. And now who does he want? He wants us. He wants us. Satan is more faithful in attendance in a church than some Christians. Why do I say that? I just told you. He already has everybody in the world, and he is going to work on each one of us to take us back into the world. Satan is our most dangerous enemy, and we should never forget that our life is the target of Satan. He looks at each one of us. He says, I want Ron, I want Nella, I want Carol, I want Pat. He goes right down through here. He wants each and every one of us. So I want us in this lesson to look at some examples of when Satan came among them, because he's done this from the beginning of time. So when we turn back, let's start back in Genesis. Genesis chapter 3, and God placed the first people, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden to dress and keep it, and not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And if they ate of it, they would surely die. But Satan came among them and changed everything since then. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Here we have the beginning of sin, where sin entered into the world, and it has been here ever since. We see the three avenues of temptation: the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. And stop and consider this. God had just created the world, and it was good. This beautiful garden, he had created man and Eve. And Satan comes right into that garden to get them to sin, to deceive them. And he accomplished that. Well, when we go forward in the Old Testament, and we come to Job, which we just looked at, but if we look in Job chapter 2 this time, Job chapter 2, and beginning in verse 3, "Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil, and still he holds fast to his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause?' So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Skin for skin, yes, all that a man has he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, he is in your hand, but spare his life.'" Friends, when we think of Satan as our enemy, we've got to understand that if Satan is so bold that he will go right before God and say, "Let me have this person, do this to this person," and he's going to curse you, he's going to turn his back on you, he's going to be one of mine instead of one of yours. Satan comes among us. He comes among us. Satan comes among God's people. You think about the people that we have all known over the years that once used to be members of the church. Some of them have gone back into the world. Some of them have given up. Maybe some have gone to some other belief. Satan whispered in their ear and said, "You don't have to do this. You can come and do this." We see that happening everywhere. Satan is bold. We need to be aware that Satan will come right among us. Let's turn to the New Testament, to the book of Matthew. You know, Satan was pretty bold in the Old Testament. Was he bold in the New Testament? Well, Matthew chapter 3, and beginning about verse 13, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John tried to prevent him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me.' But Jesus answered and said to him, 'Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then he allowed him. And when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. Behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" So get this picture in your mind. Jesus is just getting ready to begin his public ministry. He is baptized by John. He comes up out of the waters. The heavens open. The Spirit of God descends upon him like a dove. And then a voice from heavens, God speaks. God doesn't speak too often like this, but God speaks and he says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And we have the Godhead present here. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Is Satan going to try to come among them? Yes, he does. Chapter 4, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." To be tempted by the devil. "And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now the tempter came to him, and he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.' And he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him up to the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple. He could see everything from up there. And remember again, Jerusalem's up on a hill. You have the temple, and then up on top of that, so he could see everything. Verse 6. And he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down." He's taunting him here. Satan is speaking to the Son of God, and he's taunting him. He's challenging who he says he is. "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Satan is trying him. He's testing his patience. Verse 8 again, "The devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and said to him, 'All these things I will give to you if you fall down and worship me.'" Wouldn't that be tempting to have everything your eye can see? What did Jesus say in verse 10? "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him." So notice, Satan tempts Jesus the same way he tempted Adam and Eve. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the boastful pride of life. He tempted Jesus the same way he tempts you, the same way he tempts me. Notice, Satan was so bold as to go directly to Jesus, the Son of God. He knew who he was, but that's the kind of being that Satan is. But Jesus had hid the word in his heart, and he again replied to Satan with scriptures. And that's why it's so important that we understand the scriptures, that we know them. We have them in our heart so that when Satan comes after us, we have a weapon that we can defend ourselves with. Satan comes after us and we don't have a weapon, we're going to be gone. He's going to get us. James 4:7 says, "Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." We need to, when Satan comes after us, we need to be living a life of submission to God. We need to be drawing near to God, and Satan will flee us. 4 verse 8, "Draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." So we see that Satan came among them in the Garden of Eden. Satan came among them with Job. Satan came among them when Jesus was baptized. Now let's turn to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 8. And we are going to see that Satan comes among them when the sower goes out to sow the seed. And in Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 5, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down. The birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on a rock, and as soon as it sprung up, it was withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked it out. But others fell on good ground, sprang up and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Listen to what I'm saying.' Then his disciples asked him, saying, 'What does this parable mean?' And he said to them, 'To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand.' Now, the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. When the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." Look at that again, verse 12. "Those by the wayside are the ones who hear, Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So here, someone has heard the gospel. It's gone as far as to be in their hearts, to be in their mind. And Satan knows how powerful the gospel is and how destructive it is to his call. So when Satan sees that that gospel is starting to go in somebody's heart and mind, what's he going to do? He's going to come along and snatch it out of there. He's going to come among us and snatch out the way. He's take away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Because Satan wants all of us to be lost. He wants all of us to be lost. And friends, he knows that if he can steal the word out of your heart, there will be no obedience. Again, you compare that to Jesus when he was tempted, and I mentioned Psalm. We are to hide the word in our heart. We are to hide it. You stop and think about that too. That word hide. We want that word in our heart where Satan's not going to find it and come along and try to take it out. Because he's going to try to do that, even when we study. He's going to try to keep us from studying, reading God's word, and when we receive it into our heart, he's going to try to come along and take it out. Satan, that's why he's our worst enemy. Well, let's turn to the Gospel of John. We see Satan does not give up. John chapter 13. Now, verse 1, John 13, 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, he would depart from this world to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas, Simon's son, to betray him. Here we have Satan among the disciples, among the apostles. Satan is right in the midst of them. Satan is going to be among us. We turn to the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 6, we have an account of the early church and of a couple by the name of Ananias and Sapphira. Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. A certain man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a possession. What did they do? They kept back some of the money. They took the proceeds. They brought it. They laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter knew what was going on. In verse 3, he says, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. So Ananias lies to the Holy Spirit. How did God look on this? He with displeasure. Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. He loses his life. Verse 6, the young men arose, wrapped him up, and carried him out and buried him. Great fear came among all those who heard these things. Who didn't hear this? Who didn't hear this? His wife didn't. Verse 7, that was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened, and Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. She said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, The feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last, and the young men came in and found her dead and carried her out and buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. Satan came right among the early church. He's busy. He's working. When we see all of these places, and these are just a few where Satan has come among them, we must be aware of Satan's devices. Satan wants to take advantage of us. 2 Corinthians 2:11. He's a liar. John 8:44. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Satan is the greatest deceiver there is. He'll tell you if you're in sin, you're safe where you are. He'll tell you if you like doing this, keep doing this, it's not going to hurt you. He'll tell you, you don't need to do this, you don't need to do that. You think you need to do this? Okay. But just wait till tomorrow. He's a deceiver. He will hinder us. 1 Thessalonians 2:18. Paul writes, "Therefore we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us." Satan is a tempter. We read that in Matthew 4. Satan is subtle. We read that in Genesis 3. He can be transformed into an angel of light. He is our adversary. He is our deceiver. He is the god of this world. He's the dragon, the serpent, the devil, the accuser. Revelation 12:9. Friend, and Satan came among them. We need to never let our guard down. We need to look out for each other, but we need to look out for ourselves so that Satan does not get us. Because just like I said, he wants to get each one of us. He wants to get me. And he is going to not be shy about it. Friends, Satan is among us. He's in the world. And sometimes we think, well, we're safe because he's in the world. But friends, he's in the church also. He's in the church. We have to have our eyes open. Satan wants to keep you from obeying God. If you are not a Christian, he's here telling you, you don't need to do that. If you want to do that, fine. Just wait. Do it later. Some other time. You've got plenty of time. If you're a Christian and you've got sin in your life, he's telling you, don't worry about that. Everybody's got sin. You're okay. Look, you're better than this person. Satan is among us. Friends, we're going to sing a song of invitation. And if you aren't a Christian, will you step out and say, I want to be a Christian? I want to give my life to Christ, the one that gave his life for me. You want to come to God, the God that created and gave us life? You want to come to the ones, whether you're not a Christian or a Christian, if you have sin in your life, do you want to come to the one that's the only one that can fix your life, that can save you from your sins, that has the remedy for your sin, to come to the blood of Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Will you come? Jesus is calling and inviting. Will you come now while we stand and sing?
When you walk with the Lord.